aside from receiving Jesus that you're going to hear. So we hand out these cards. Just write some the scriptures down. You can look them up later. But I'm telling you, if you've got some hiccups, bumps, mountains, stuff, this is the message for you. Nothing like tooting your own horn on a Sunday morning here, right? You know, kind of smile at me, will y'all? Jeez. Okay, we better pray then. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Matter of fact, because of you, Lord Jesus, we come boldly into your throne, into your presence, and we thank you for that great privilege and honor to be in your presence. And today, Father, we are asking, we are declaring, we are receiving eyes to see, ears to hear, revelation of all that you have done for us and how we walk it out mightily on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a breath, Pastor D. Okay, starting a new series. It's called Secret Weapons. On your yellow paper, write that down. Secret Weapons. And we're going to be talking about different areas of secret weapons, different ones. But today I want to talk about the enemy and his secret weapon. We're going to talk about the enemy and his secret weapon. All right, if I had to give you a definition, by the way, you need to know a secret weapon. So here's a definition. Someone's secret weapon is a thing or a person which they believe will help them achieve something and which other people won't know. Another one, it's someone or something that gives you a special advantage over your opponent. Last 2 weeks, Pastor Sherry did a series called The War Horse. The War Horse was the secret weapons so they could win the battle. Okay? So secret weapons. Now, the interesting thing in the kingdom of God is God has secret weapons. The only thing, he doesn't want to keep them secret. He wants you to know them so that you can live long, live strong, live victorious in your life. All right? So that's the difference than most people. And listen, this is the place you're going to find the secrets out. Okay? This thing here. All right. Praise the Lord. So, I believe the Bible is the most important thing you can have in your life. I have a lot of stuff in my life. I didn't realize I had a lot of stuff in my life until I had to move 4 bedrooms, 2 living rooms and whatnot. Thank you, Eric Forbes, muscle man over here, and all the other guys that helped me out. I found out I had a lot of stuff. But you know the one? Nobody complained when they moved my boxes of Bibles. I had a bunch of them, okay? Because I believe the Word of God is so vital, so important. Amen for all you. Hallelujah. So, write this down. What is the enemy's secret weapon? What is the enemy's secret weapon? Ready? Lies. Lies. There we go. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Lies. Okay, now listen, I know he's got other weapons that the enemy, Satan, uses, but I would say the one most secret weapon, I don't even think that's a good English sentence, all you English majors, but is lies. Satan's big weapon, it is a secret, not anymore, because we just said it, but is lies, okay? So I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be honest. If you're the person that does this, please don't raise your hand. Okay, ready? How many of you have ever been around a person that they are really good at lies? Don't raise your hand. One time, one of my teenage kids, not the one in the building, had their friend come to my house, look me in the eye, and lie through their teeth. And it irked me. I'm sorry, I just wanted to smack them. Teenage girls. I should have, except for I wasn't the kid's mama. And I knew she was lying. And she just looked me right in the eye. Ugh. It really irks me. Okay? Just me. And you know what else irks me? Exaggerations. The fish was this big. Everybody's doing it, Mom. You know why it irks me? Because to me, it's really kissing cousin of a lie. That's just me. Anyway, enough about me. Praise the Lord. Okay, so everybody, the enemy is a liar. The enemy's a liar, okay? And have you ever had this happen where you'll have this whisper in your ear, like the enemy's telling you something, he whispers in your ear, and the thing is, sometimes you listen to it. Like, you're going to fail at this. This one. Oh, this is the enemy. You think you're a Christian? I know what you did. You think you're going to heaven? Hell no, you're going to hell. All right? That's the enemy just talking in your ear, okay? And wait a minute, the enemy is a... Gosh, I almost fell over. You're so good. Okay, so the enemy can't speak to your heart. Only God speaks to your heart. The enemy speaks to this. Okay? Just little golden nuggets. You should just be writing that down. Okay? So, he comes to your mind. He comes and just puts thoughts in your head. And again, liar, 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 pants on fire. The enemy speaks lies. Okay, so you know what? I hate waking up to the morning. I love getting up early, but I hate waking up in the morning and I hear on the news or I go read one of my news feeds where you hear about a shooting. Shootings in schools, in churches, in the post office. Just really hate that. I just hate that. And I have to think, man, the person that did that must have been really controlled by the devil. Okay, because guys, it is not normal to roll out of bed and go shoot up a school. Not normal. So I just hate that. And well, then I think, gosh, who has that person been listening to lies? They get up that morning and they do it. I hate lies. There we go. I hate lies. Hate lies. Hate. Okay. So I want to encourage you that if you have thoughts that come into your mind and they are opposite of this, don't do it. Okay. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Speaking of that, it's probably been about a decade ago, but I remember there was a season in York County that there were a lot of suicides going on in high schools. You want to rock a bunch of kids is when someone takes their life, especially in a high school student. And I thought, man, they are listening to lies. That their life is not precious, their life is not valuable, their life doesn't count, that God doesn't have a plan. So listen, if you know somebody or you're somebody here, that's opposite of God's plans. That is a lie, and God has a great plan, and destruction and taking life is not it. So I want to tell a quick story, then we're going to get into a bunch of scriptures, and then I'm going to give you three easy points at the end, and I'm going to send you home smiling. Okay, but raise your hand if you've ever heard of C.S. Lewis. Raise your hand if you know Narnia, The Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe. That's the guy that wrote it, okay? And a whole bunch of other. He wrote a lot of books, actually. And he's gone on to be with Jesus. So he was a writer. He was also a theologian, okay? And he wrote this one book, and I read it years ago, and it's in one of my boxes that I haven't been able to get to, but I will, okay? He wrote a book called Screwtape Letters. Anybody ever read that? Screwtape Letters? Oh, good. Okay, Screwtape Letters, okay? And it was written, it was a long time ago in 1940s. That's not that long. Okay, and the book... Let me get a little background about story about it. Screwtape is actually a demon that's writing letters. He's not Satan. He's underneath Satan. So the guy Screwtape Letters, got it. Screwtape is writing letters to his nephew, who's an apprentice, who his name is Wormwood. By the way, don't name your kids that. Okay, his name is Wormwood, all righty? And then there's this guy, sort of like us, there's this Christian, and the whole point of the book is Screwtape is writing letters to Wormwood to get this Christian, and his name is called the Patient, to get the Patient not to follow God. Not to doubt God. Okay, that's the whole 31 chapters, which is 31 letters that Screwtape is writing to his nephew, the apprentice, Wormwood. Okay, and now listen to this. Do you know what Screwtape tells Wormwood how to do it? Temptations and lies. He just pounds him in every letter. Just tell him lies. OK, okay? Now, this is interesting. This is what C.S. Lewis wrote about his book, like the little, you know, the on the back of the bottle, the fine print at the bottom, okay? Or sometimes it's the big warning sticker on the back of the thing you buy. And this is what he said. Readers, so he's written this book, and he's telling anybody who reads this book, ready? Readers, please be advised to remember that the devil is a liar. He wrote that in his book because this is what this whole book's about, okay? So listen, by the way, he's not your friend. He is not the guy you buddy up. The devil's a liar. Amen. Don't listen to him. All righty. So I just, again, the enemy has a secret weapon. It's no longer a secret because I just told you the enemy is a liar. And he's going to tell you lies, and he's going to try to go through your thoughts and your minds, and then he'll use somebody to stick it in your head. Okay, so turn over to 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah, we're going to get going. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to a church. He's writing to believers in Corinth. Okay, so you can take this. He's writing to believers. If you're a believer, you can take what he says and just apply it in your life. Here we go. This is what he says. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. For though we live in this world, you are living in this world, right? Yep, you live in this world. We do not wage war as the world does, okay? So there's a war, but I like this last part. We, meaning believers, me, you, I'm a believer, we're not supposed to wage war the way the world does. So if you're looking so much like the world does, you might have to reel it in. It's just my mama telling you some good words, okay? Secondly, I have to say this, all right? There are some Christians, of course not at this church, that think that it is their job to tell everybody and set them straight. And they go on Facebook and they're angry and you like they start, this and that and the president and then, okay? Christians, okay? And they just are angry and writing all over the place, okay? Now, just suppose, I believe, if Jesus were here now, all right, let's suppose a TV station asked him to come on this TV station to do an interview. Now, you know, when they ask Christians, preachers especially, to come on their station, they're just going to try to shred them. Have you ever watched? I mean, that is their purpose. They'd go, oh, we would love to have you. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay, but I tell you what, they would ask them and they try to shred them and ask them all sorts of questions. And I believe they would ask Jesus a question and he would say, oh, you know, I think you should love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, but did you see what so-and-so, what's your opinion about this guy? You should be able to, and they get, I mean, they're just poking him. Do you know anybody that pokes you? Okay, that's what they do. And Jesus would have said, you know, the scriptures say you should love your neighbor as yourself. Really calm, okay? I believe that's the way you're supposed to do it, and I just want to put my two cents. You are not to wage war like the world and go blast everybody because this is the way I am. This is my personality. I just get in everybody's face and tell them what I think the word says. Please be nice, okay? Okay, and then I just want to say this. The way you present Jesus to people will either be the way they run to him or run away from him. Praise God. Two yes, yes, one amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read the rest of this. Verse 4. The weapons we fight with. So there's a fight. Everybody say there's a fight. There's a fight in this world, okay? The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world, of this world, okay? On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds, okay? So we have weapons to fight with. Okay, and I'm going to dig more into this verse a little bit more. I'm just kind of throwing this out to you. But unless you've been a Christian for a long time and someone's taught you this or you've studied this out, most people, most believers don't know there's a fight. And if they do know there's a fight, they're fighting the wrong way. Okay, so we're going to find out how to fight right. How to fight right. Okay. Okay, Pastor Dave. Let me just say this. So, in the United States of America, we got a lot of ugly fighting going on. And I don't care who you believe in, what your opinion is, but there's some ugly fighting going on. Especially since we're coming up to an election. It is just ugly, nasty. My mom would have spanked half of y'all. Okay. Famous quotes. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Anybody's parents ever say that? Oh my gosh. Okay. So, but listen, there's a lot of going on. And the thing is, who's really causing it? We have an enemy. And he's a what? He's a liar. And he's really behind it. Okay. And you have to find out how Jesus is speaking to you on how to deal with this stuff. And don't come up and, okay, anyway, don't say that, Pastor D. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but they are mighty through God. Alrighty. So the weapons come from who? And they are what? You could be on my team for charades. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Alrighty. Praise God. Turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Some of you could sing this and do cartwheels, but I want you to read it, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Therefore, I pick a new translation. Every once in a while, I'm like, you just memorize this. I'll pick some new translation to throw it up here. This is the Holman Christian Standard. It's a good one. It's a really good one. All right, so y'all at Romans chapter 12, verse 2? Praise God. Do not be conformed to this age or the world that you live in. Do not be conformed to the world that you live in, okay? Now, let me say, so many people have misinterpreted this. So many Christians have just told, well, that's, you know, the way you should dress. You women should dress this way, and oh my gosh, you know, you shouldn't have tattoos, and you should look like that. That's not what this is talking about, because you read this in context, it's talking about your mind. Okay, so I just thought I'd say that. Do not be conformed to this age, this world that we live in, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. Now, I love to tell your mind what to do. But it said, now put it this way, it's telling you to do something with your mind. Now, I get to do this Sunday. I get to tell you what to do with your mind, sort of. But this is you, okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So when you allow your mind, allow your mind to be conformed to the world, to bad stuff. Anybody ever done it before? Hands up, okay? Or you can transform your mind by doing some other things, and we'll get into that. But it's a you, all righty? So that last part, so that you may discern what is the good and pleasing. So when you renew your mind, you will be able to discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God. How many of you know that God has a will for you? A better way to say it is God has a plan for you. Everybody say that. God has a plan for me. I'm not a mistake. God has a plan for me. Yes, he does, okay? He has a plan for you, and it's a good plan, and it takes, I've been walking with the Lord for 30 plus years, and the longer I walk with it, I'm seeing more and more and understanding more and more of the plan. Day one, I didn't know anything except for Jesus loved me. I thought that was a good plan. Okay, but keep walking it out. Keep on the journey, all right? Because it's a good plan. Praise the Lord. All right, now, God has a plan for your life, and it's always good. But guess what? The enemy has a plan for you too. He's got plans. He's got plans for you. And guess what? They're not good. And you know, in that Screwtape letters, listen to this. Screwtape is telling his nephew, Wormwood, he says, listen, don't let that patient, a.k.a. Christian, don't let him start thinking. thinking about the Bible. Because if he starts thinking about the Bible, he's going to be a more fanatical Christian, strong Christian. Okay. Mighty Christian. Better one. Okay. But if you don't start thinking about the Word of God, you're going to start thinking about the lies. And those lies are just sometimes they are coated in chocolate, dark chocolate with sprinkles, and we just buy them. Okay, so Satan's a liar. Praise the Lord. And you know what? That's what happens to most of us in our life. We got these lies, and we're not even realizing those lies are opposite of what God says. I have done some dumb stuff. Let me tell you. Look at myself here. Praise the Lord. Most of you may know this. Some of you, this is going to be, put your seatbelt on. But did you know that the Bible, in like 20 scriptures, says the devil, the enemy, is already defeated? He's a defeated foe. He's already defeated. Okay? Now, I want to tell you a story. I'm not lost. I know where I'm going. But I love the circus. It's just from my childhood. I love the circus. One time, my dad asked what I wanted for my birthday. I said, I want tickets to the circus at Madison Square Garden. Oh, my gosh. It was wonderful. And I kind of have a thing, and everybody in my house has a thing about elephants, okay? So, and big monster elephants, and they're doing this and that and stuff like that. Now, did you ever wonder how that elephant could be just led around with a little rope by a little guy compared to this big elephant? You ever wonder why that happens? Okay, well, let me tell you. When baby elephants are born, they put a rope around their neck. They don't choke them, all you animal lovers. Okay, now this part you might not like, but then they stake them to a pole and he can't move. I know, Holly just loved me through this. Okay, animal people, all right, all right. Now, after a while, as he gets used to just standing in one place, they'll take that rope that's off the stake, and then they just lead him around. And he gets bigger, and they just lead him around. And he gets to be the monster elephant. And that's where you get those animals at the circus, okay? Which I love, okay? But listen, if you don't know the devil is defeated, he's got something around you, and he's just leading you around with all his liar, liar, liar pants on fire. He'll lead you around, and you don't even know you're following a lie because you're just so trained to listen to him. Okay, so, but now remember, this is a spiritual fight. We're not decking somebody out, all right? Praise God. So the devil is defeated. Jesus did it. Okay, but we have to enforce it. Otherwise, you're like, it's still there. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Turn over to John. You just write this down. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. This is Jesus talking, and he's talking all about the devil. Talking all about the devil. Yep, I think I do. And he's at the bottom he says, for he, the devil, is a liar. He is the father of lies. The devil is like kingpin father of lies, okay? Now, there's a guy named Matthew Henry. He's gone on to be the great cloud of witnesses. Brilliant theologian, and he wrote commentaries. And I love reading his commentaries. And he wrote about this scripture. He wrote about the scripture. I just want to read it to you. He said, and he's talking about the devil. The devil is the father of lies. And he says this. He, the devil, is a liar. He must have heard my message. All his temptations are carried on by his calling evil good and good evil. All right? And promising freedom from sin. We are living in a goofed up culture, and they're calling evil good. And you could probably, your brain's probably going, oh yeah, just turn on the news and this and that. It's just rampant. Like, gosh, it's just, you're going, it's crazy out there. Everything that you know, according to the Word of God, people are calling good, and it's evil. It's bad. It's wrong. It's sin. Oh, it's good. It's okay. You can do whatever you want, and la, 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 la. Okay? Because the devil is a liar. Liar, 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 pants on fire. Alrighty? So praise God. That's the devil's job. And he's pretty good at it. His job is to lie. It's his only job. I'm going to lie to you. Okay, that's his job. Now, I'm going to take a quick journey just to get everybody on the page, because this might be new to some of you, but Genesis, open up to Genesis chapter 3. It's either 3 or 4, I don't know. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 1, God created. In case you didn't know, this is really true. This is just not a makeup story. That's why you read your Bible. But God created the heavens and the earth, and God created man, and God created Eve, and it was beautiful. And then there's the devil that comes along. How many of you read that? Okay. And you know, it's really just, I think it's because of, okay, don't go there, Pastor D. But anyway, people have this thought about the devil. Oh, he's just kind of got a little pitchfork, and he's hanging on the tree, and he comes up to Eve. Hey, babe. Read your Bible. It's not like that, okay? It's not like that. As a matter of fact, the same way the enemy comes against us and tries to put thoughts in our mind to liars, 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 to get us to doubt God, to walk away from God, it's the same. I believe that's exactly what happened there. He came to put thoughts, get them off track. Okay, y'all at Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said, the serpent said to the woman, did God really say, get ready for lie number one, did God really say you can't eat from any tree of the garden? Liar, 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 pants on fire. That was a flat out lie. But she won't know that unless she read chapter 2. Okay? First lie. That was a lie, okay? God never said that. And listen, the enemy is a liar. Praise the Lord. So he comes up to Eve. Hey, babe. you can eat that. No big deal. Nothing's going to happen. Lie, lie, lie. Okay, they should have those big lights back there on her, okay? Let's read verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden. True. But, when you put a but in the beginning of a sentence, watch out. But, about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it, still true, or touch it. That wasn't true. God didn't say that, okay? So, or you'll die. Now, you got to know what God said. So you back up to chapter 2. 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any of the trees in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. On that day you eat from it, you will certainly die. That was the truth. She just tagged on some things. And yeah, lie, 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 lie. Okay. Verse 4, jump down to verse 4. So the devil, this is the devil. No, you will not die. Don't listen to him. He's a liar, right? No, you'll not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Okay. Praise God. That was a lie. Because, read chapter 2, they were all, God created man and woman in his image and his likeness. They were already like God. Already like that. And he's dishing out a lie. Here we go, lie. The lie, all right? Whew. I think I'm getting sweating up here. Shoo. Ready. Verse 6. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was just listening to his wife. Okay. Didn't say anything. Oh, that's not your translation. Who was with her and ate it. Okay. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew they were naked. Naked? You mean you didn't know you're naked? Are you kidding me? Read chapter 2 again. When God made Adam and Eve, he clothed them. It's bigger than my head some days. He clothed them with his glory. I'm not sure what that looks like. I might be a size 2, clothed in skinny pants. I don't know, skinny jeans on. I'm being silly. But they were clothed with the glory of God until they disobeyed God, ate from the apple, disobeyed God, and all of a sudden they're like, oops, we're naked, okay? You got to read your Bible, guys, okay? The things the devil promises, they're up here. But listen, you believe the lie and you're like, oh, I can just do this. No big deal. I can do that. And it always ends up burn and crash, right? So he's a liar. Don't listen to his lies. And then you're like, oh, God, oh, help me. All righty. So here's what I want to do to wrap up. Praise God, we can do this. I want to talk about how to resist the enemy's lies. Okay, so we all know he's a... So how do you resist those lies? For some of you, this is Joe Basic 101. But years ago, when I used to have to... I was teaching swimming years ago. Every year I had to take that CPR course. Oh, I have to take the CPR course. Are you kidding? Every year I was a good refresher. Praise God, I never had to use it, all right? It's like the little kid coming up. Well, I already know that. I read my Bible once. No, please stay tuned for the rest of this, okay? And how about you just draw on God? God, I want revelation today. I want to just suck my straw to the bottom where it's slurping, that I get more on what is just something you might know. So how do you resist the enemy's lies, okay? How do you resist them? Number one, know the truth. Eve did not know the truth. Well, someone listen to it. Okay. Know the truth. Everybody write that down. Know the truth. Know the truth. And that means you got to know what the Bible says. The Bible says, okay? Now, it's great. I have commentaries and I look up, oh my gosh, Andrew Womack has this one. I just love reading it. But I start here, okay? Know the truth. Praise God. Everybody go. Know the truth. You know why you have to know the truth? Because sometimes you are believing, you have not gotten the truth and you're believing something that's totally opposite to what's in the Bible. Amen. Oh, but that's right. I have a 30-second app. I listen to it for 30 seconds every day, Pastor D. Come on. You got to get a little bit long. Go up for a minute. 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. Okay. All right. Praise God. You'll believe a lie, and sometimes you don't even know the lie is opposite of what God says. Praise God. No, that's not a praise God. All righty. So, let me do the, you know, I have people come in here and they are constantly arguing, disputing what the Bible says with me. Like they'll come in on Sunday, Pastor D, I have a question. They have a question about something I said. Okay. That's cool. That's really good. But it cracks me up that they'll sit and watch media, like everything on the internet. And it's like the gospel truth. Come on. Okay, how about this? And I get it. When I was first born again, I just like, this is kind of like Noah's Ark. Are you kidding me? Okay, but then I started reading my Bible, walking with God, and I got to the point where I said, you know what? This Bible is God's word, and I believe him. So you got to get to that place. And then once you get to that place, you have to read it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John 8:30. Don't worry about putting that one up. John 8:31. I couldn't remember what translation. John 8:31. You can scribble that down. John 8:31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, he's talking to believers. Anybody a believer? Say, Jesus is talking to me right now. He's talking to me. This is what he's going to say. If you continue in my word... Continue, good word. In my word, you really are my disciples. And listen to this. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Another translation says, it releases you into freedom. If you know this Bible, this truth, it will release you into freedom. Okay, praise God. Good preaching, Pastor D. So, what happens when you know the truth? It exposes the lie. Oh, You're going to flunk that one. God's word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's word says I'm more than a conqueror. God's word says, all right? The truth will expose the lie, and the truth will tell you who you really are. This Bible is vital. Praise the Lord. All right, now. Probably once a year I touch on this. I'll say this, you know, listen, I without being a nag, and I am a good nag because I smile when I nag you. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. Read your Bible daily. So I've talked about this soap. Soap stands for a scripture. Open your Bible, find a scripture. Oh, observation. And I write this down. What did that talk to me? Okay. A, how can I apply it? P, I'm going to pray. S-O-A-P. Do that every day. Okay. Some people say, I'm on a program that you read the Bible, in a year. Good. Read your Bible every day. Good. Whatever's going to get you more than 30 seconds, please. The 30-second app. Do more, okay? Someone said this to me once. Oh, Pastor D, I read my Bible on Sunday when you give a scripture. Gold star. High five. Okay, so how about if I were to say to them, oh, well, how about if you eat as much as you read your Bible? Gonna drop that 100 pounds real quick, okay? How about I said that? I'm pretty sure they're gonna start reading their Bible 3 times a day. Some of you 5 times a day because you eat 5 times a day. All right? Because, guys, if you were to eat as much as you read your Bible, oh, I come on church on Sunday and I read my Bible while you give that scripture. You're going to, nice word, Pastor D. You're just not going to make it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Okay. So, where are we going here? All right. You're going to shrivel up. That was a nice word. So I want to encourage you, the truth will set you free, but you may not know you need to be set free until you get into the Bible and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just tied up like that elephant. All right. So praise the Lord. Praise and read it daily, not just 1 time a week. All right. So number one, how do you resist the enemy's lies? You got to know the truth. Number two, write this down. Take your notes. Number two, take captive thoughts. Well, okay, especially those liars. Take captive thoughts. Now, we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians because we said we would. 2 Corinthians 10, we started there. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does, right? Like Jesus does instead. Okay, verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. Praise God. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. Underline that word, arguments. Arguments. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Stick in the word of God. Stick in there the promises of God. Okay? Just write that in your Bible. And we take captive every thought that may and make it obedience to Christ. Put in the word of God. Put in the promises of a God, okay? What did Pastor Jackie used to say? If you can't write your Bible, throw it out and get one you can. He was adamant about that. And then he'd say, get lipstick and write on. I'm like, don't you touch my lipstick. I paid money for that. But praise God. Okay. Did you see that word about arguments? That one about arguments? We demolish arguments. Arguments is not with your spouse. We're not talking about arguing with people. This whole thing has to do with your mind. The arguments are with your brain. You should do that. No, you shouldn't. You should do that. Well, my wife will kill me. You should do that. Oh, I better not. Oh, you should do that. You have these arguments going on in your head. Yep. Okay. So that's what the arguments are. All right. Praise God. So how do I wrap this up? Praise God. Don't look at that clock. Jesus, thank you. Now, let me say this one. You can't ignore thoughts. You know, it's like sticking a gooey peanut butter jelly sandwich on the side of your head, and you're just like, I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just going to ignore the peanut butter jelly sandwich that's stuck in my head. No, Bubba, you got to do something with it, okay? You, even though I love telling you, but you have to take captive okay, the lie, and find what God says. Praise God. Ready? Now, this is what I do. And I think you should do it. You should interrogate those thoughts. You get one of those thoughts, and you're not sure it's a lie. You're not sure it's God. You should interrogate it like, huh, is this out of the Word of God? Is this what God says? Take it apart. Thank you. Take it apart. Take it apart, okay? Where is this coming from? Is this thought coming from the Bible? Interrogate it, all right? All right? And figure out, is this an outsized source that, or is this coming from the Word of God? So you have to take captive thoughts. You need to interrogate your thoughts. And then I'm going to tell you in a second what to do. Let me give you an example. Bonnie, years ago, I was in a car accident. I was actually in my 30s, and that was a long time ago. And I was on my way to the JCC because I used to teach swimming so my kids could have free swimming lessons. I am smarter than you think. And I'm on there, and I used to always go this one route where I'd cross over Rathdon Road and South Queen Street. But that day, I had to run an errand, and I'm coming up South Queen Street. And in my head, I'm not paying attention. I was not alert. I didn't see the sign that says yield to oncoming traffic. Because before, I always used to cut across Rathdon, and you just always had the green light, and there was no sign, and you know, you always got to go first. So that day, that night, I'm on my way to work, and I come in a different route, and I'm just like, there's a sign up there, whatever. And I get hit head on. And I thought, that guy hit me. No, I was the wrong person. I was in the wrong. Okay, so I tell you that story. I'm working it. I've been good. 3 years. No accidents. But what happened is I worked at the Juice Community Center 3 nights a week, teach swimming and whatnot. Every time I would go that way, I'd start, I'd get to that intersection, and I'd start freaking, okay? I'm going to be an accident. I got wrapped up in fear. And this went on for I was a little slow. It went on for about a month or so. And I'm driving through this, and then I realized I have to take captive that thought that you're going to be in an accident. You're going to be in an accident because you're at that intersection. You're at that intersection. I had to take captive that thought. Take the peanut butter and jelly sandwich off my head, look at it, and go, that's a lie. I thank you that I do not walk in fear. Fear has torment. I don't like fear. I walk in the power of the Lord Jesus and da-da-da-da-da. And now I just go sailing through that intersection, praise the Lord. Okay, that's just an example of, and y'all have things in your life that you might have to take captive and replace it with the truth. Amen? Okay, so the first one, how do you resist the enemy's lies? One, know the truth. Two, take captive thought. Here's the third one. And you know, everybody does the first two. But the last one, they stop at. They stop at. But you know, we're like, oh, I do one and two. And I'm like, yeah, but three is going to get you over the mountain. So you're ready for number three? Speak the truth. Speak the word. This thing's got to be moving. You have to speak, all right? Praise God. So you have to speak God's word. Just write this down. Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke 4. It's the same story, and you probably know it. It's the same account. And Jesus has come out of the wilderness, right? He's been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, right? And as he's coming out, the devil meets him. Okay, now, interesting. 40 days and 40 nights without food. Some of you are so grumpy if you miss a meal. What we call hangry? What's that? Sherry says, yeah. Okay. And he's been in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights on a fast. By faith, I say I love fasting. Really? Okay. So he's been on a fast 40 days, and he's probably pretty hungry, right? He's not grumpy. And he comes out, and who meets him square on? Satan comes. Can I give you a little words of wisdom? The day, the moment, the time that you are at your lowest, you're hungry, you're tired, work has been super stressful. Those days when the devil just loves to come in and tempt you and give you a pack of lies. How many of you found that out to be true? Yep. Praise the Lord. Just want you to know that. When you're worn out, man, he just right on there. Okay, so because of time, I'm not going to read all of Matthew chapter 4. I'm just going to bring out some things about speak the word, speak the truth. Ready? So Jesus is coming out of the wilderness. He's starved, and Satan comes up to the devil comes up, and he said, "Hey, man, you could turn these stones into bread." And as my friend, the Italian, says, "You could turn them into meatballs." I was like, "Yeah, that would really, that's a temptation." Okay, so Satan comes up and he tempts Jesus. Okay, I'm going to read verse 4. Jesus answered. So Satan's already talked to him, tempted him. All right. You could turn these stones into bread. Because, you know, he hasn't been eating for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? And Jesus says, answers, "The scripture says," everybody say that, "the scripture says," okay, "the Bible says," God's word says, all right, "man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of mouth of God." So you think this book is just a book like any other book? Wrong. This book will change your life, but you have to know it and you have to speak it. All right. So, and you know, some people go, "Well, Pastor D, you just don't know what I'm going through. I have a unique situation." You go through all these temptations that Jesus went through, they cover it. Okay. So you are not so special. Praise the Lord. Yes, you are. You're special, but you're not. Okay, so Satan comes, turn these stones into breads, and Jesus says, "Nope, I'm not doing it." Then he comes up, the devil comes up with another idea, and he says, "Hey, why don't you jump off this high place? And the angels of the Lord will pick you up and carry you to a safe place." Okay? He didn't do it. And listen to this. That is where Satan tempted Jesus with suicide. Boy, real quiet. Just jump off. Your life's, don't worry about it. All right? Okay. And, you know, people are like, "Well, suicides, it's rampant." He's been trying it for a long, long time. But how about you do and you learn what Jesus did? Because he did not. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Verse 7. Jesus restored. "The scripture," everybody say, "the scripture says," "the Bible says," "the word of God says." So Jesus says that to him. He says, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Okay? Now, in case you didn't know, that Jesus was in heaven and so was Satan. Only thing, he wasn't called Satan then. What was he called? Lucifer. And he was numero uno worship leader in heaven. And they're both up at the heaven, and Lucifer's job description is to be worshiped, to lead worship unto God. Only thing, he wanted to exalt his throne above God, and he just, like lightning, got kicked out. So now Jesus and Satan are both on the earth at the same time, okay? All right? And he tries to tempt him, and Jesus says, "You will not tempt the Lord your God." And you know what he did? He kind of rubbed his nose in the mud, because what he was really saying, what Jesus was really saying, "I am Lord, I am God, and you are nothing, buddy. Don't tempt me. I know who I am. I'm the Lord, I'm God, and you are been cast out." Guys, you got to know the truth. Praise God. All right. So, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Verse, how am I going to do this? All right, I'm gonna jump to the third one, all right? Well, speaking the word is the third one, all right? Write this down, and we're going to wrap up. Ready? What do you want to be speaking when you hear a lie? You realize, oh, that's a lie. What should you be speaking? What do you want to be speaking? Number one, do you want to speak your thoughts? Some of you get yourself in trouble speaking your thoughts, right? Has your mouth ever got you in trouble? Okay. Do you want to be speaking the devil's thoughts, the enemy? No, I am smarter than the fifth grader. I do not want to speak what he speaks. Or do you want to be speaking God's word? Good. You all passed the test, right? 100% on it. Okay. You want to be speaking God's word. So I want to encourage you, speak God's thoughts. Speak God's words. When you hear something and it's a lie, You need to speak God's word. And God upholds his word. His word will not return void without accomplishing. And I stand fast. Amen? Amen. So, there is an enemy. He's got a weapon. Y'all know what the weapon is. He's liar, liar, liars. He's lies. And how do you resist him? You got to know the truth. You got to spend time in the word of God. God loves talking to you. Some of you are in there 2 seconds. See you, God. I'm done. And so read your Bible and then sit tight for a few seconds, okay? A few minutes here. Praise the Lord. And then you have to speak. And you will walk in the plans that God has for your life. God is a good God. He's got great plans for your life. He's not called you to fail. He's not called you to be depressed, to be beat down, to be the underdog. He has called you. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. I needed another 15, 30 minutes, but that's good enough. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that you have opened our eyes to the truth. The devil is a liar, and you are God. You reign in the high places, and we're into those high places. And Father, while we're on this earth, we will speak your word. Thank you. So I don't know what's going on in your life, if you've been dealing with some troubles in your life, or you've just been far away from God, or just thoughts, just machine gunning you. Father, I pray for people in this place today, Lord, that when they get quiet, just go home and grab a Bible. Just start in the Gospel of John if you want to. It's just good. And they get quiet. I thank you that you speak truth. And your truth sets us free. And we take captive lies. We are free in Christ. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed.